Okay, today is Wednesday, May 22nd. This is the women's Chumash share. We're up to Vayikra Perek, Bereishis Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud, in the middle of Parshas Vayera. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Bereishit Perek Yud Chet, Pasuk Yud. Last week we examined carefully the previous pasuk in which somebody of the three messengers or angels made the statement of Ayes Vayomer Elav Ayes Sara Ishtecha Vayomer Hine Ba'ohel, and we discussed the dots on the Elav, their significance, and then trying to understand what was the purpose of making the request in the first place if they don't actually engage her in any dialogue at all, and nothing at all at this particular time. I just wanted to just have one he'ara, one comment, based on something that I said Sunday night at this Bikur Cholim event. I was asked to speak at the Bikur Cholim event, and I made reference to something here. And I thought a lot of people commented that it meant a lot to them, so I just want to share it with everybody. At the beginning of the Parsha, we spent a lot of time on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's visit unto Avraham. The text doesn't say anything as to why God visited. It's all the Midrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Levaker Choleh. But even the Midrash that adopts that position acknowledges that at least not the text nor the Midrash offer anything in the way of a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham. One would have imagined that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, Abe, how are you feeling? Things along those lines. And maybe it was just not significant for the Torah and the Midrash to record the dialogue. So when you tell me that the Torah, I can understand that. But the Midrash finds any excuse whatsoever. And what I suggested was that there are times when somebody who is ill is not interested in talking to anybody. They're not in the mood. What? Even if it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew very well that if he is going to initiate conversation, it's going to compel Avraham to respond. Because we do the same thing. Somebody comes in and starts talking to you. So as a good gracious host, although being in bed you are the host, you feel somewhat of an obligation to respond to their queries and so on and so forth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was deliberately silent, not engaged in any, to teach us that at times, Bikur Cholim means simply to come and visit, and by my mere presence, that is sufficient to indicate to the person who is ill that, you know what, I really appreciate your coming, but there is no need to engage in discussion. And I said that because I was supposed to give personal reflections, and that's exactly the way I felt at times in the hospital. I was not in the mood not to talk on the phone, not to talk personally. So when I looked at this event and recognized, so I put this in the framework of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as I said, a lot of people came over to me and said, people, particularly people who were ill, you know, that it's such a good point, and that hopefully others will recognize that it's not always necessary to do so. And it happens to be the truth as well in relationship to Nichum Avelim. Sometimes the Avel is not necessarily in the mood of engaging in any discussion about the deceased. They just want to sit there. And the halacha is very clear that we are not to initiate discussion. People don't always remember it, that the person who initiated the discussion has to be the Avelim, not the Menachamim. I think I told somebody once, I once accompanied the Rav when the old Mashkiach from YU, Rav Lessen Zichrono Lebracha, before Yossi Blau. So Rav Lessen was the old type European type of Rosh Yeshiva, of Mashgiach. Learn what he was concerned with when I was in YU. He went into the Beis Medrash. If somebody had their pen on the Chumash, oi, a pen on top of the Chumash, please take it off. And I said to myself, this is in the early 70s. This is the biggest problem that's in the that's going on in YU. You know, you have guys who are hippies and so on and so forth, and into drugs, some of them. And because he didn't live in America. He lived in America, but he was still living his life as if he was in Kletsk, where he came from. And there, the Balei HaMusar were concerned about every action which we do. Every single action has to be examined by the halakhic process. Every action. You know, whether it's significant or insignificant. So putting down your pen is not a terribly significant action. But it shows that you're not thinking. You don't value the chumash, and you put something of less substantial value on top of the chumash. Okay? So that's the way he was. When he passed away, they didn't have any children. So his wife was sitting shiva. The Rav went to pay a shiva call. We sat there for 2.5 hours. His wife did not say a word. After 2.5 hours, the Rav gives me a look and says, he gets up, says, Hamakim Yenachim, and that was it. Not one word. And he said, when it comes to this terribly uncomfortable situation to be in, but that's what the halacha demands. And sometimes we should remember this, not only when we are Menachem Avel, but here even when we are Mevaker Chola as well. Yes. Yeah, sure.
When they're
prepared.
When the doctor's not in the room.
I agree with you 1,000%.
So much is going on.
1,000%. And that's 100%. The Rabbeinu Shalom sent Avram a text afterwards. Yes. Precisely. Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. So we are up to, as I said, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer, and he said, Shov ashuv elecha ko'et chaya v'hine bein l'sara ishtecha v'sara shoma'at petach ha'oel v'hu acharav. Seems like a very easy pasuk to translate, but yet it's actually very difficult. Can anybody please read me the translation that you have in front of you on the very first phrase? Shov ashuv elecha ko'et chaya. How do they translate the phrase ko'et chaya? At this time next year. Good. That's the most popular interpretation. Now, what word in that sequence is difficult to understand? What about that word means next year? No, ka'et is a time. Chaya. How does chaya suddenly mean next year? It's a very difficult phrase. That's one thing that we're going to talk about.
I thought ka'et chaya means next year. The two of them together.
Correct. But how does the word chaya mean as the time? Ka'et chaya. Next. How does the word chaya, as opposed to the way it's used typically in the Chumash, and that's how some Parshanim are going to say, understand it in relationship to the way it's used elsewhere.
I swear it's going to
be. No. Okay, perhaps. That's interesting, but where is the word chaya, and in what context is it used, particularly in relationship to the message that is being communicated?
When you will have a live birth.
Good! A chaya. You know? Who were the chayot in Mitzrayim? Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua are the chayot. They are the ones, they are the midwives. Exactly. So the word chaya in Hebrew, in Chumash, in biblical Hebrew, often is used in relationship to something with childbirth. So so we'll see in a second. But that's one difficulty. Then another, please identify a second difficulty. Second, just textually, you know, no lumdas, text. Shov Ashuv, the multiple one. Shov Elecha, or Ashuv Elecha. What is Shov Ashuv? Why the double? That's another one. And then a puzzling one towards the end. Mizavahu. The Hu Acharav. Sarah Shoma'at Petach Ohel. The Hu Acharav. Who's the Hu? He's behind the door. You know who's behind the door? Sarah's behind the door.
The tent is behind
Avraham. What? Okay, so it's a little, it's not quite identifiable. The just who's standing exactly where and who's behind somebody. There are three people involved in this discussion. There's Avraham, the messenger, and Sarah. So Good. That's because they, yes, they copied it out of somebody. Good. The Hu Acharav, the tent was behind them. Now, is that the smoothest read of the pasuk? Don't think so. Again, I'm just raising the point. When we look at a Chumash, the first thing to identify are difficulties in the text. And then we'll see how certain parshanim or midrashim identify it. So take a look, as always, Rabotai, at Yitzchaki, Shlomo ben Yitzchak, Rashi. So Rashi says, Shov Ashuv. Actually, even before that, does anybody want to comment in the difference between Tet and Yud in terms of the opening words?
Yeah, one is they said and one is he said.
Good. Pasuk Tet is Vayomru Elav, and now it's Vayomer.
Yeah.
Well, what's... Well,
Each Malach had
what? I know, so why did it... So then, I know that. So then what question is difficult? Why does it say Vayomru? Ayesarai Shnecha. That's to introduce, that question is to introduce one of the assignments. So only one of them should have said, the guy who was about to go to kill Sodom, makes no relevance to him as to whether or not Sarah's here or not, or where she is.
Oh, but maybe that's the primary purpose of their visit. Sodom is relatively less important than Sarah.
Okay, but why does it say Vayomru? They said. And here it says Vayomer. What happened to the other two dudes? You know, what happened to the other? It's what?
Only one Malach in charge of that particular message.
Okay, so then he should have introduced it by saying, where is Sarah? That's exactly the point. He's the one. No, but they were not saying goodbye yet. They were just, they haven't done it. They can't say goodbye before they've accomplished their mission. I haven't found a good answer. I'm just alerting you to the fact that I find it a little difficult. Yes.
Maybe they all asked where Sarah was. Because to me, it almost like sounds like, where is Sarah? We don't want her to hear this.
Oh.
No, she's being told.
No, she's not being told.
Okay.
She's hiding behind the door. Maybe
interesting.
Where is Sarah? We just want to talk to you right now.
Okay.
Each of them wants to know where Sarah is.
Okay. Perhaps.
Neither of these messages.
Perhaps. Can anybody give me a simply balabatish way of reading the pasuk?
Well,
of reading the pasuk? About batish. Why all three are saying?
Oh, because if you just if one asks for sorry, it's not sneers, it's not appropriate.
Okay, perhaps something is even some balbatish. Balbatish.
They just had ate there and stuff. She's the
hostess. Exactly. We like to say thank you to her. Exactly. That pasuk tet is not necessarily introducing yet their comment. They haven't revealed what their mission is. So they all ask, where is Sarah? We'd like to thank her for the Shlosein Kemah, Lushi, Vasiu Gold. And they know that even though Avraham somehow brought out the meat, they assume that it's Sarah who prepared it in the kitchen. Good. And he answers, sorry, she's in the ohel, she's not coming out. I'll relay your thank you. Then, now one of them gets them. So that redoes the entire intent of the pasuk, in which case the midrashi comment based on the dots, that Sarah is supposed to ask, or when you speak to Sarah, you ask what? Where is your husband? It just makes no sense at all. Zero. But if you don't want to maintain this simple Balabatish interpretation, I think you have to address why the Vayomru to the Vayomer. Good. Now let's continue. Shov Ashuv Eilecha, says Rashi in Pasuk Yud. Lo Bisro HaMalach Shi Yashuv Eilav. Even though the Malach seems to say, I will return, he is not really promising that he will return. Lo bisro hamalach. The malach did not promise that he is going to return, even though it might say that. Ela bishlichuto shel makom amarlo. What he meant was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be returning to you through the fulfillment of what I'm telling you. Do not be tempted to interpret this that a guy, sometimes a person says, I'll return in another year and something, I'll give you something, I'll see something unfold. That's not what's happening here. There is no intention for him to physically return. Now, how did Rashi know that? I know it's the pshat. I know that for a fact. But what's prompting Rashi to make this comment and not interpret it the normal way, I am going to return? That's how Rashi is interpreting the double expression. Shov Ashuv is to tell me, yes, I'm going to return, but not really return. That's how Rashi interprets it. Kimo Vayomer lo Malach Hashem Harbe Arbe et Zarech. The Malach says, I'm going to Avraham later on, and it said previously as well, I'm going to multiply your children. Harba Aber Zerach. You, the Malach, are going to multiply your children? The who ain't biyadola harbot. He is not capable of fulfilling that particular promise. He can't guarantee the birth of a child. Ella bishlichuto shel makom, afkam bishlichuto shel makom amar lo kein. So the angel is simply saying, that's how Rashi interprets the shov ashuv. That's Rashi's suggestion. Then apparently in certain texts of Rashi, that's why there's a. You have a bracket under the next word.
Yeah,
Elisha.
Yeah.
Good. So a bracket means that some of the manuscripts of Rashi have it, and some of them do not. The majority of the manuscripts have it. That's why it's indicated by a bracket. If it would be parentheses, it means the majority do not have it, and a minority of the manuscripts have it. That's how they indicate the majority or the minority. Brackets are the majority. Parentheses are a minority. Elisha Amar Lashunamit. Elisha said to the Shunammite woman, "Lamoed hazek ko'et chaya At choveket bein. Why? What is Rashi doing here in comparison? What is Rashi saying, noting about? Why does he bring this in?
The same terminology.
Good. That's one thing. But what else? That's not his comment. What? Correct, but Rashi's react based on his answer. I know what he's reacting to, based on his comment. He's not going to comment about that it says at kaikaya. He's not going to comment about anything that you said. So what is he going to react to? What in the message that Elisha forwards to the woman is different than the message forwarded by these angels to Avram?
Directed at her rather than to
okay. But it's not the way.
He didn't say I went to
Ah, who said that? Good.
He didn't say
I'm coming back. Shov Ashuv Elayich Ka'et Chayav At Choveket Bein. So Rashi here is going to make a point of the way a human being responds in terms of a promise versus what? And Amala, who is representing God. That's Rashi's point. All of your points are legitimate, but are not the ones which Rashi is making. Elisha Amar Lishinamit, Lamoed Azekoit Chaya Atcho Veket Bein. Vatomer El Adoni, and she immediately responded to him, Al Tichazev Bishivchatecha. Don't, what? Don't disappoint me. Don't promise me something that you can't deliver. However, O son Hamalachim Shibisu Sara Lamoed Ashuv. I am returning. Lamoed Shov Ashuv. I'm returning. In other words, I'm guaranteeing it. I am guaranteeing this. O son Hamalachim Shibisu Sara Amru Lamoed Ashuv. Amalo Elisha. O son Hamalachim Shehem Chayim. V'kayamim le'olam amru la'mo'ed ashuv. They could say, knowing that they're representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are guaranteeing it and coming back to witness the fulfillment of this promise. Aval ani basar vadam shahayom chai umachar meit. Ich bin doch nothing but a human. And a human is alive today, unfortunately not alive tomorrow. Ma bein chai u bein meit, lamoed hazeh. What the difference? What's the difference in a live person can who can say, "Yeah, I'm coming back next year." But if you're already pushing daisies from the bottom up, you can't necessarily say that. And therefore, he, Elisha, made no reference whatsoever to him personally coming back to guarantee this. That's Rashi's comment. That's Rashi's comment. There might be something else to say as well, but we'll see. That's Rashi's comment. Let me just finish up the Rashi. Ko'et chaya, ko'et hazot, lishana haba'a. It's not just sometime approximately next year, but rather what? Exactly, this time next year. U'Pesach Haya. And it was Pesach. U'le'Pesach Haba Nolad Yitzchak. And next Pesach, Sarah had that problem about making a Seder because she was busy with Yitzchak being born. Midilo kirinan ke'et. Ke'et chaya means around sometime next year. But what does it use? Ka'et. Ela ka'et. Ka'et chaya. Ka'et hazot shetehe chaya lochem. Shetiyu kulchem shleimim v'kayamim. What does ka'et chaya mean according to Rashi? What does chaya mean? Alive. Exactly. I am promising you, says the Malach, that you, Sarah and Abraham, are going to remain alive. Not you having a baby. That's the next phrase. V'hine bein l'sara ishtecha. According to Rashi. Ko'et chaya has nothing to do with having a baby. Kayet Chaya means that I promise you next year at this time, you're going to be alive. You and Sarah are going to be kicking as well. Fine. That's how Rashi interprets Ka'et Chaya. Okay? We'll see there are again different interpretations by many Parshanim. And finally, Rashi's last comment. How does he address the issue about Petach HaOel Vehu Acharav? Vehu Acharav? HaPetach. Haya Achar HaMalach. What was behind the Malach? The door. The door and Sarah were behind the Malach. That's where they were standing, behind it. Okay, fine. Okay, that's one suggestion. Let's take a look at others who somehow try to create. We'll start with Chizkuni on the right hand side of page 1. And Chizkuni is also a Pashtan, so we like to take care of them first, before looking at the Midrashic world, which we will. Shov Ashuv, says Chizkuni, Shtei Sib Shivot. Shov Ashuv means there are going to be two returns. Achat B'Tishrei V'Achar B'Nisan. One in the month of Tishrei, 6 months from now, from when this is being stated. And then another one during the month of Nisan, obviously referring to Pesach. What's going on here? What's going on here? Says the commentary on the bottom of the Chizkuni, and many who quote the Chizkuni interpret it that way, that the angel knew that there is going to be some degree of skepticism on Sarah's part. He knew that. And in fact, what corroborates his concern? She laughs. 2 minutes in the next pasuk, which will take us another week. She's going to, maybe 2 weeks, because it's two pasukim away. She's going to laugh. So he knows that she's not going to comprehend this. In fact, every day that lapses, and she doesn't sense that she's pregnant, she keeps saying, what? It's nonsense. Nonsense. So on Rosh Hashanah, Tishrei of that following year, somebody comes back and tells Sarah, oh, you still think it's a joke? Because at that time, that's when, what? She suddenly discovered that she was pregnant. Now, how would Chizkuni arrive that Rosh Hashanah was that time? You know this answer. You know it. No, you have to know davening. You do. Because we read Vashem Pakat et Sarah Ka'asher Amar. We're going to read chapter 21. We're going to read it. It's Chamishi of Parshas Vayera. So, the broad interpretation was Vashem Paka, that Hashem remembered Sarah. That's all. And Chazal make note of the fact that there are three women who were remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Midrash believes that all three of them were remembered when? On Rosh Hashanah. That's why we read on Rosh Hashanah Vashem Paka et Sarah. That's why we read about what? Chana. And that's why we read the second day about Rachel. That Rachel's children, Rachel Mivaka Alvanel. So, and that makes a lot of sense. Because when Chazal select a Torah reading and a Haftarah, it has to be somehow connected to the day. And in fact, I'll tell you the Shakaru. The Mishnah in Megillah, I should have put that in the source. The Mishnah in Megillah that enumerates for us all of the Kriyot HaTorah of every Yom Tov does not say anything about reading Vashem Pakad HaSarah. What you're supposed to read is Parshat Emor, Parsha chapter 23 again. Chapter 20, I told you, you have to know it by heart. I just gave my class in school today a test on chapter 23. And they asked, we're learning Sanhedrin. What do you have to know Parsha and Law? Because you got to know it. That's why. You have to know it. So what are we supposed to read? Ube'echad lachodesh hashvi'i mikra kodesh yelachem zichron teruah kol melacha lo tasu. That's what you're supposed to read. You're supposed to read the description of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Just like we read on Sukkot, that unit, which includes b'chamisha asayom, b'chodesh hazeh, chodesh hashmi hazeh, just like we read it on Pesach. All these things are read on the course of the Hallel. The Braita later on says, no. We don't read about the sanctity of the day, we read about themes of the day. And the theme of the day is Pikida, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered. And that is the selection of the Haftarah and this. Says Chizkuni. Therefore, Shov Ashuv. So the reference to this idea that there is something unusual and it's significantly important about what happens with Sarah is takes place on Rosh Hashanah. So it's Shov. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to come back and I'm going to confirm that you're pregnant. And then, Ashuv, I'll come back next Pesach and join you at the Shalom Zachar. Just make sure it's a light beer, a light Bud Light. Yeah? What? Because it was Ugot. And Rashi said Ugot wa Matzot. Ugot Matzot. Doesn't say Matzot in the text here. By Lot in chapter Yutet, it says, when they came to Lot, it says black on white, Matzot. Not even black on blue, black on white, Matzot. So this, but the Medrash says it was a Pesach. That's the only reason how they know. They don't know any otherwise. In fact, there are those who go so far to interpret this Chizkuni that Sarah actually conceived on Rosh Hashanah, and that Yitzchak was just like Moshe, a 6-month baby. He was born at the beginning of the seventh month. That's what many believe. And just as an aside, Chazal operated with something that we know for a fact is not true medically. Chazal believed that a child can only survive if they are born after 9 months or 7. But if a baby is born in the 8th month, consider it dead. The Rambam says you're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos for a baby that is born in the 8th month, because he's going to die anyhow, no matter what you do. So if you remember when what's her name? Rabbanit, who came from Natan? From Matan? Hankin. No, it was not Hankin. Bina? That was Bina. Another one.
Oh, Tarragon?
No, it wasn't Tarragon. No. She spoke for a whole Shabbos. A whole Shabbos. No, not Frank. Man, what's her name?
The Rav said that to me.
What? No, she didn't speak a Shabbos last November. What?
When the women stood up?
Yes.
Sally Mayer.
Rabbanit Sally Mayer, thank you. She gave one of the shiur between Mincha Mariv, and her topic was areas of halacha which have been changed as a result of modern, recent day science. And the first example given today, which he used, was this halacha, that you're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos unless the baby was born in the 7th month or the 9th month. Today we're Michal Shabbos for a 3-month baby. Any baby that is born, we're Michal Shabbos because there's a chance that they can save her. But anyhow, some go so far to make this connection of the Chizkuni that she was actually became impregnated on Rosh Hashanah, and that's Uva Hashem Pakades Sarah Kasher Omar. That's Chizkuni. Then if you take a look at
I don't have any
If you take a look at Radak on the left-hand side of the page, in his second comment, not the first one, Ka'et Chaya, Ka'et Chaya, Ka'et Hazot, Shetiyeh Sarah Chaya, Kilomar Yoledet. What does Chaya mean? Not the way Rashi understood that she's going to be healthy and so on and so on. It means she's actually giving birth. V'chein matzanu b'mishneh she'amru li'yoledet chaya. The Mishnah uses the word for a woman who gives birth as a chaya, not the midwife. The Mishnah uses the word chaya for the woman who gives birth. And it quotes a case. K'mo she'amru v'hachaya tin'ol et hasandal. The Mishnah in Yuma cites a minority opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that there are certain accommodations for women who have given birth not to observe all of the laws of Yom Kippur. Namely, that between birth and 30 days after, she's allowed to wear shoes. Allowed to wear shoes. Between birth and 30 days, she's allowed to bathe. Even on Yom Kippur, allowed to bathe. So the halacha doesn't accept Rabbi Elazar's opinion, but it's there. The expression used is v'hachaya tin olat hasanda. Obviously, that can't be the right, the midwife. It's talking about the woman herself who can and right. In terms of eating, that's. During the first 3 days, she's not allowed to fast. Has to eat against her will. Things day 3 and 7, it's up to her. Her choice. If she wants to eat, even the doctors say she can live without. If she feels it, she has a right to make that determination. But after 7 days, she has to fast.
In the Haggadah, where we say B'damech Chayi, doesn't that refer to...
No, that means live. Through your blood, you will live. The word chaya also means chaya.
Section referring to. Okay.
No.
Did she also bathe on Shabbos since the first 30 days?
According to this, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. If you allow Yom Kippur, you would allow Shabbos too. Yeah. According to Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. Now, if you look at the word, the line before that, Radak. He tries to answer why there was Vayomru before. We can imply that he says something along the lines that we said. Vayomer, look at his comment on the first word. Who said, Ayeh Sarai Shtecha? Hagadol Shabahem. The more significant one. Vahu Sha'amalo Avram, Imna Matzasichain Beinecha, don't leave. So then why does it say Vayomru? They probably were saying thank you, and so we'd like to say thank you. But now they're starting to get to the message. V'amar shov ashu. V'hashnayim, the other two are not talking here any longer. Ki ein malach echad oseh shtei shlichuyot. Ke'achad. None of them go. So the ha'echad bal hashkidit zdom, v'achad bal hatzulit lot. So these guys are out of the picture. After they all said, where is Sarah? We'd like to say thank you. What did they do? Two of them disappear completely. So the Vayomru and the Vayomer is perfectly understood. Perfectly understood. Yeah. I'd like to show you a comment. A comment of the Medrash for a second. If you go to page 3, this is Agadat Bereshit, a Medrash on Sefer Bereshit. There are lots of such Midrashim. So the Medrash puts the words of the Malach in the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Eheye Kibasar Vadam. I am not going to be like a human. Does everybody have it? On page 3, 5 lines from the bottom, it's bracketed. Anybody have it?
The bracketed.
Yes. Ani lo Omar Kodesh Baruch lo eheye ke basar vadam. Elisha basar vadam. Mipnei shehe echila oto hashunamit. Elisha, as significant as he is, he's one of us. He's a human. But how do I know? Because he ate. Shene emar vatachzek bo le'echol lechem. She seized him or prevailed upon him to what? To remain for a meal. Omar lo lamoed hazeh ko'et chaya at choveket bein v'kayam, and it was fulfilled. Shine emar v'ta'ar ha'isha v'teled bein lamoed hazeh. Alachas kama v'kama Ani she'amarti le'Avraham, shov ashuv elecha ko'et chaya, v'hinei ben l'sara ishtecha, certainly she'ani mekayem. If a human being makes a promise and it is fulfilled, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who make a promise, is certainly going to be fulfilled. Now look at his comment at the end. Lefikach omar Bilam, lo Ish el vayechazev. Lo ish el vayechazev. What does that mean? What does that mean? Lo ish el vayechazev. Yeah?
That God is not a man that disappoints.
Who doesn't, right, doesn't lie. Exactly. Bilam, so, is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, Lo El, the God of Am Yisrael, is not an ish who is Vayechazev, who typically lies. But the point of this Medrash is that what's underlying is that Bilam recognizes that these people and their God have the same quality. It's Lo Ish Vayechazev. Velo el vayichazev. These people, the tribute that Bilam is offering is that not only does their God not lie, but the people don't lie either. Elisha's a human being, and he made the promise, and it was fulfilled. So what impressed Bilam to such an extent was not so much that there is a God who doesn't lie, but that as people who resemble that God, I normally know, because I'm the biggest violator of this idea. I lie all the time. But these people, so you have to read it with a pour. Lo ish vayichazev, lo el vayichazev. You go back and forth. And that's something that in poetic Tanakh, we find this very, very frequently. And many times tefillot have taken on this style. For example, take a question 1 second. We recite every day, Le'el Baruch Ni'imot Yiteinu. So there was, you know that in some shuls, people go berserk if somebody repeats a word, God forbid.
Yeah.
God forbid repeats a word of the davening. I don't want to see which shul that the the rabbi used to charge in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If he was in the middle of Chazar Kedusha, he charged from his place, go up to the Chazan and said, don't you dare repeat another word. It was terrible. But anyhow, so somebody was worried about this, interested. He brought to Rab Moshe Feinstein, a recording of a Chazan who did Lekel Baruch Nidim Mishitein. And the way the piece goes is, Ki hu levadoi poyer givu rois. Ki hu levadoi oise chadashois. Ki hu levadoi bawal milchamois. She said, isn't that a hefse? It only says Yehudu Vadai once. So Rabbi Moshe said, no, that's exactly what the piyut means, what the bracha means. It is Kihu Levadai, he's the only one who's prepared the world. It, he doesn't say it, but it means as if Kihu Levadai, so it's Mishte Ef, Ein Ruach Chachamim Noichahimenu, he said. It's not the best thing to do, but it's not a hefsek, and you don't kill the chazan for doing it. Don't kill for doing it. So, and that style, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoglah, picked up from Tanakh. Because in Tanakh, you have that where you reread a pasuk. It doesn't say, lo ish el, and you say, vayichazev. And then you say, lo ish el, lo ish vayichazev, comma, and then you repeat it. Lo el vayichazev. That's not the way it says. But poetic license gives you the right to read it, and Anshe Knesset HaGdolah borrowed that, and the Paitanim even more so. All of the great Paitanim, particularly Hakalir, who was the greatest contributor to our text. In fact, the first year that I davened in Rinat, after I became the rabbi in Rinat, so I davened Musaf, and somebody, one of the members of the board, comes over to me after the first day, said, Rabbi, you davened beautifully, but why do you have to repeat so many words? I said, I didn't think I repeated somewhere. And I said, okay, you know, I think I know what the halacha is and I'm going to do it. The next day, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, I did every chazanah's piece that I could think of. Every piece of chazanah's that I would never even consider doing, I did it that day on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. I said, he's going to tell me what to do? A board member's going to tell me how to daven? Okay. Good. That's point number one. Bilam's appreciation of man and God. Yes?
The original idea was not what the original idea of Bilam was, that what he was actually thinking?
He wasn't trying to say,
you know what I was thinking? Yeah. In other words, is he actually thinking, woe ish me because they
no, no. His thinking was to curse us by denigrating us. Lo ish eh, man is not a god, and therefore what does he do? He lies through his teeth. That's the way he wanted to. Chazal then understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned it around the other way. Of course. According to the Pshat, that's no doubt, of course. Then there is an interesting Meshech Chachma. On page number 4, Meshech Chachma, Rameya Simcha. Now, we've seen Rashi, who says that the word Vahu Acharav is what? The door was behind the Malach. Yeah. If you look, go back for a second, before I read them, go back to page number 1, which is the Radak on the left-hand side, second line from the bottom. He says what you suggested, Vahu Acharav Ratzon Olomar, Ki Ha'ohel Haya Acharei HaMalach Hamidaber. What does that mean? The one who's speaking, good. So where? Let's get the structure. Let's get the structure. Let's assume this is the ohel. So where is the malach standing?
Behind.
What? In front of the ohel. So he's outside there, and who is he talking to? To Avram. So Avram is outside. And his Avram is facing the Ohel. The Malach is facing Avram. The who and the tent is behind it.
And then Sarah.
And Sarah, exactly. Sarah's in the tent. So she hears from behind him. Good. That's probably the closest thing to the Pshat. And it's also a question. Who cares what position the OL was, the OL in front of him, behind him? What really difference does it make? So that will prompt the Medrash to look elsewhere. So now go to page number 4, which is the Meshech Chachma. V'hu acharav b'midrash Ze Yishmael. Ze Yishmael. Exactly. The who acharav, a person, he's behind. Mipnei hayichud. Bazeh pirashti mashir de besol perak asol yosin. Basar de nesayim kol hilchus yichud. After all the laws of yichud, you know what the laws of yichud are. The halacha of a man and a woman who are not permitted to have relations with one another are not to be alone in a particular location. Then that's mitzvah hadin. Then there is a rabbinic takana that even a single person who is not an erva, is not prohibited with this guy, also should not engage in yichud, which prompts all of the tshuvot to various questions about going on dates. Can I go into an elevator alone? Can I do this alone? You know? Yeah. So there it says, Matsinu sha'asa Avraham Avinu kol ha'Torah kula ad shelo nitna. Avraham did fulfill the entire Torah even though it wasn't given. Shine emar vayishmor. Hu mipnei sha'Avraham he'emid et Yishmael lihiyot shelo tisyachet Sarah im hamalach. So now, tell me what's happening. What's happening here? Tell me what scenario the Meshech Chachma is saying is happening. Yes? First of all, Avraham thinks, but maybe there's Yishu with Malach also. I have no idea.
But, 13, he shouldn't be.
Okay, but where, no, where is... Ah, exactly. According to this midrash, the Malach is in the tent talking to Sarah and to make sure that there is no yichud between Sarah and this person, Avram puts the who Yishmael acharav. He put her in the tent too.
It could also have been precautionary, like the Malach might go in the tent to talk to Sarah, so I'm going to make sure that somebody's in there.
Perhaps it doesn't seem to say that it was Shehemisha Shalom. Maybe it's precautionary. That's possible. It's possible.
It says by your plural.
No, that was the other possible. This is Vayomer. We know we took care of the other two guys away. What? So the two guys.
But if you left Yishmael in there with her, just in case the Malach comes in,
yeah, that's also.
There's three people.
I mean, it's not two. Makes sense if Abraham would just not be a letter, let her be alone with this person, or not, or whatever. Like he would come with her.
It's
more interesting than how she feels one here in this that we just discovered him.
That was my next point.
Wait, what did you say?
Why would it be important to introduce Yishmael into this little discussion? That why am I letting Yishmael hear that Sarah's having another child?
Because there goes raising the jealousy.
What?
It'll start raising the jealousy even at this point.
Do we want that to happen? Or are we putting him on alert?
Yeah.
Listen, Mr. Yishmael, your day is over. Your reign in this household as being king toddler is over and done with. From here on in, you know, you're going to have to play second fiddle. So it's a very unusual comment based on this particular medrash. It's even more unusual based on the comment that it has to be because of yichud. And it's based on the word Vayishmor Mishmarti. You guarded my guard. There's a pasuk in Parshas Korach that Asu Mishmeret LeMishmarti. You're supposed to put up biblical fences around other mitzvot of the Torah to guarantee that certain transgressions don't take place. For example, why is it that you're not permitted to own chametz on Pesach? It's a geder. Normally we think of a geder as rabbinic in nature, but there are biblical gedarim. The Torah wants to make sure I don't eat chametz because I have it all year, and if I see the ringding, I can't stay away from it. So make sure that there are no ringdings in the house. That's bayiran bayimatzeh. Here too, the Torah wants to prohibit having inappropriate relations. How does the Torah prohibit inappropriate relations? By being gozer yichud. That's why it says vayishmor. Avraham was vayishmor mishmarti. Yes.
Yishmael was like preventing Mama from coming into the tent, because why would
Yishmael
be in the tent alone with
Sarah? Because Avraham told him to be there.
Hmm?
Avraham told him because
he's not her son, so that's also Yishmael.
Okay, so that you can ask that question. You can ask that question. In fact, that okay, if you wanted to engage in the halachic route, which I don't, because I don't like to put halachic considerations into the biblical family. But it's a question people ask. Can an adopted child be in the room with his adopted parent, or is that, if it's a boy and a girl, is that a violation of yichud or not? Or do we say, since they grow up together in the first place, they grow up their whole life, so that attraction, that desire is no longer there? You'd be surprised. There are many poskim who say that it applies, that the iser yichud does apply.
How old was
13, that we're told in the text.
Also, he's not adopted.
He's right, a stepson. That's correct, a stepson. He's a stepchild, correct. All right, we'll stop here. Continue next to Bach.